Hello once again, Cougar football fans. We welcome you back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our Week 12 and season finale edition of the Coordinator's Corner presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. Coming up today, we will look back on a fourth straight win for the BYU Cougars, a 34-17 decision down in Statesboro, Georgia over the Georgia Southern Eagles. And we'll look ahead to this Saturday's regular season ender at USC as we visit with all three BYU coordinators today. Defensive coordinator Eli Satuiaki, special teams coordinator Ed Lamb, and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. We kick off today's show with DC and D-line coach Eli Satuiaki. Coach E, good to see you once again.
Good to be back for the last show.
We have reached the end. Yeah, a lot of work goes into the final week ahead of USC for sure, but it's been a long grind. It's been a successful long grind, 9 wins in 11 games.
Yeah, that's feels like it's been so long, but it has gone fast.
So let's start with this reminder of how depleted your defense has been and how hard you guys have had to work to stay on track. When the season began, you had Keenan Peely, Peyton Wilgar, Keenan Ellis, Lorenzo Faletea, Chaz Aiyu, to name five. You played Saturday without any of those guys available. It's about half of a defensive starting lineup, E. And yes, it's football, guys get hurt, but it's been a challenging year that way.
It's been tough with injury, and you know, sometimes you have good luck, sometimes you know, the luck isn't so much in your favor, and it's just one of those deals with it being a physical game. But felt like the boys that we've called on to step up and play have done a good job. I mean, they've you know, to try to play good stout defense with a lot of guys with not as much experience, a little bit harder, but those guys have done a really good job.
You lost Peyton Wilgar between your 10th game and your 11th game. Didn't have him going into Georgia Southern.
Yeah. Peyton Wilgar didn't play this game, and he'll be out the rest of the year. And so he's another one that we're putting up on the shelf, and hopefully comes back, you know, beginning of fall camp, ready to go.
So without Peyton, you opened Georgia Southern's game with two linebackers. You were in a 4-2-5 to start, right? You were a nickel to start. Max Tooley, Ben Bywater at linebacker. Then you lost Tooley to a targeting call in the game. So another next man up kind of game for your guys on defense.
Yeah. It's really we've taken a huge hit at the linebacker spot. And I think Coach Kloon's doing a good job just trying to get those guys going and getting them prepared. And a lot of youth, a lot of guys that just don't have a lot of experience. But you know, losing a guy like Max with how violent he plays is, you know, unfortunate for that one. But
yeah, what do you think of the call? I guess when I saw it live, I felt like he was seeing what he was hitting. I felt like his head was a little more up. I guess they felt it was down enough that it was more crown of the helmet. And
yeah, I just don't know now. You know, you see so many calls just on when you're watching games where some of them are blatantly, you know, just hitting somebody who's defenseless and all that stuff. But this, you'd almost say is exactly how you'd like it done.
Put kind of a trademark tackle in a way, but
it's just yeah. Tough. Just don't know really. Yeah. Don't know how they call them anymore.
Let's look at the game itself. Georgia Southern got the ball to open the game, and they strung together quite a few first downs on a solid first drive. They got only a field goal at the end of it, mind you. They were starting a third stringer at quarterback as well. And besides that, they also gave you a few different looks at quarterback at that spot, at least throughout the day.
Right. Yeah. They're had a good scheme coming in. Obviously, what they were doing, even with their first two quarterbacks, was hard, difficult to defend. And I think the tempo of the game, playing an option team, coming off a bye week, kind of got us a little bit as far as just the speed of the game. And so up front, we needed to settle down. We needed to kind of get banged up a little bit, get punched in the face to really settle in. And it took a couple drives for us to do that.
The first drive that we just saw there went 13 plays, lasted almost 8 minutes. It was the longest drive of the day by number of plays and duration. 11 of the 13 plays were rushes. Were you having some Coastal Carolina flashbacks a little bit in that opening drive by how Coastal played last
year? Yeah, and I think a lot of it was the same situation too, where we played Coastal off of two bye weeks. And so, you know, when you're doing that and you don't get the speed of the game and you're missing that. Coming back in sometimes, especially against an option team, it takes you a couple snaps for the guys to, you know, the pad level's a little bit too high, the hands aren't as good as they should be, and it takes them a little, you know, a couple snaps to just really get the speed of the game down. And, you know, it's something that you always talk about as a coach. You try to simulate as much as you can without losing guys to injury, but there's nothing like game speed. And they showed in the first drive where we really, as we talking about it in the booth, there wasn't anything schematically that we needed to change. It was really just settle the boys down and get them playing with better technique and better pad level and more physicality, and we'd be all right.
So held them to that field goal, down 3-0 after one drive. BYU then scores touchdowns on its first two possessions. You're up 14-3. Game kind of felt like it was in hand a little bit. Georgia Southern then goes on two touchdown drives, and it was really chunk plays. Not the huge plays, but the passes 10 to 20 yards, the rushes 10 to 15 yards. Some of those bigger plays, there were six of those in the two scoring drives they had there in the second quarter.
Yeah, exactly. Some of those passes, I mean, obviously when you're playing an option team, that's the thing that, difficult to defend when you're trying to be a little bit more physical and show up in the run, maybe a little bit faster to run support, and then you leave some guys open, and they took advantage of that, and they had a couple of big runs too. It just ended up in bad spots, but we've, trying to find a way to get a couple stops and get off the field and get our guys settled in and changing a couple things schematically.
You did have 2-3 and outs defensively to end the half. And then BYU kicked two field goals itself. So you're up 20-17 at the break. Heading into halftime, how'd you feel about things?
We had some discussion just about some things that we could have done schematically a little bit different, maybe moving the front a little bit different. And I think once we came out of halftime, just getting the boys settled in and playing a little bit better technique. And I thought that, the halftime adjustment obviously worked, and the boys did a really good job.
It was all BYU in the second half down in Statesboro. When we come back, how BYU shut down and then shut out Georgia Southern after halftime. And we'll get Coach E's Defensive Players of the Week as well. As we head to this break, this reminder that BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, which also includes Mark Pope tomorrow night, will air Tuesday, 6:30 Mountain Time on the BYU TV app. And we have a live studio audience. Go to the seat request link you'll see on my Twitter feed, and we can see you here with us in Studio C tomorrow night. This is the Coordinator's Corner. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more right after this. Play fake on a straight back drop. Sigelski into double coverage, and it is intercepted again. Jacob got it again. Jacob Robinson with his second interception. That one was tremendous. Jacob Robinson leaping to the near sideline. Brings it down in bounds, and a second takeaway for BYU, both courtesy of Jacob Robinson. All right, back on the Coordinator's Corner, we continue with BYU defensive coordinator and defensive line coach Eli Situiaki. BYU now 9-2 on the season, ranked 13th in the AP poll. We'll see where BYU is tomorrow in the new CFP rankings. Cougs were 14th there last week. Well, BYU this past Saturday defeating Georgia Southern, 34-17 in Statesboro on a beautiful day for football. And how about that BYU crowd you had down in Georgia Saturday afternoon?
That was impressive, really impressive. Just, I was on the box side looking across to the opposite side, and the whole second deck was completely filled. And really, there were spots of Royal all over the place on our side and the other side. It'd be interesting to see how many of ours versus theirs were there.
Yeah, it was pretty, I was in the same vantage point as you were. And so the lower deck on the opposite side, you could tell that was where season ticket holders and others might be. It was kind of sparse, but the entire upper deck was just jam-packed with Royal Blue.
That's right.
BYU did an excellent job turning out, and it's not surprising to you. It doesn't surprise you ever, but it's always gratifying.
That's one of the cool things just about BYU. The fans travel, and, just talking to a lot of them after the game, just where they're coming from, just around the different states and everything, has been really been impressive.
Maybe one of the neat things I think in the Big 12 that they'll be seeing too is Big 12 teams and their fan bases will find that BYU fans will find those venues.
Right.
Those who are just within hours of driving distance will get there for those games. And I think we'll see the same thing in the new league as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's I haven't seen this anywhere else that I've ever been. It's unbelievable, but credit to the fans and just the culture of the fans. It's really, really cool to see.
Back to the second half of that game. You led 20-17 at halftime. Pitched a second half shutout, always what you want to see. It was kind of a tale of two halves defensively. First half, they ran more plays than BYU. They had, possession time was in their favor. They wanted ball control. Second half, you guys flipped that right around. BYU ran a ton more plays and about a 2-1 possession time advantage in your favor in the second half.
Yeah, that's, once we settled down, I thought, coming out, obviously some of the things that we discussed earlier about the bye week, playing an option team, and just, they did a really good job physically running the ball. And, when we came back out in the second half, I thought the boys reset themselves and and came out more physical, you know, more hungry to try to make plays and did a really good job in, you know, all phases of the game.
So you used the word reset, physical, hungry. Were there other tactical adjustments that had to be made that you did make at halftime that put the clamps on Georgia Southern in the second half?
We changed a little bit in the first half. We were playing a little bit more of an option-oriented coverage, and we were playing a three-man front primarily. But sometimes when they're getting into the bigger personnels and just their imposter quarterback, their wildcat quarterback, mm-hmm. the front wasn't as good. And so we played a little bit more four down front, had to change that. And then our coverage, we really started to go away from the option coverage and played a little bit more just really drop eight and cover two. And so that ended up being good for us. And the front adjustment held up better. Get a lot of feedback really from the players. We're doing this right now. We're thinking about this. What do you guys think? And they tell us what they prefer, and then we try something or just switch something. And they'll come back, and that was one of the adjustments just after series was the boys were like, we need to play this front. This is like this. We feel the best in this, and so we ended up playing a lot more four down in the second half.
Do you have a point man you go to on the headset among players down there? Who do you want to hear from?
Not somebody specifically. Obviously, the guys with more experience are the ones that speak up more. But one of the guys, just off the top of my head, that really is vocal about it is Caden Hawes. Caden Hawes, with the experience that he has playing O line, and mm-hmm. also just with the him being a starter, Nice is another guy, and Gabe Summers is another guy. Those guys are really vocal about, okay, this is what we need to do. Feel really good about this front. Feel like they're struggling in this. Feel like we can hold up a little bit more than this, and so. We'll listen to what they have to say, and
right.
sometimes we'll listen to what I have to say and say, you know what, no, that's not the best thing for the team right now. We really need you to just, to relish your role right now and playing this, and they rise to the occasion in that too.
We came into the segment seeing Jacob Robinson's second interception, two picks for Jacob on the day.
Yeah, he's been amazing to see play. I mean, the fact that he. Got a couple of snaps during COVID year at Utah State and transferred to us and just come to us. I mean, he's been really, really fun to coach, really fun to be a part of. I mean, humble kid, great locker room kid, obviously great ball skills.
Yeah.
Really good player. And so, he has been the guy for us, at least this year, that you weren't expecting much of. You thought he'd be a little bit more of a depth player, but he's played nickel, he's played corner, he's played safety for us, and he's really moved around with all the things that we've had to do. And is doing a really good job.
Another clean day offensively. The two takeaways defensively. BYUE is second nationally now in turnover margin. 13th in takeaways, 8th in passes picked. That's a big part of 9 wins.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've obviously we as a defense feel like we need to get more. We need to get more takeaways. But it's just an amazing job by our offense taking care of the football. And when we take care of the football, obviously we win games, and we've got to get more takeaways on defense, and offense just got to keep taking care of the ball like they have been.
Let's get to our players of the week, and a decent segue with the turnover tally being talked about, because the guy who had the two interceptions, Jacob Robinson, is one of your two defensive players of the week from Georgia Southern.
Yep, big, huge plays by Jacob Robinson, and just the way that he showed up, and even in the run game, he's done a really good job. And then the other one's Tyler Batty, and on that second interception, Tyler Batty had a really good hurry on the quarterback, a hit on the quarterback, but he's playing really good football right now. Just the physicality, just the play recognition. I mean, he's starting to play like a veteran, and all the snaps that he has under his belt now and is really, really showing up. But both of those two players were huge for us this game.
All right, so BYU gets 2-9-2 by defeating Georgia Southern. Now it's on to USC. Some early week thoughts on the Trojans, Coach Tuiaki.
Yeah, obviously they're going through whatever they're going through with losing their head coach, but they're still USC. I mean, you watch them on film, just really, really good players. They're fast, they're big, they're physical. They've got capability to score a lot of points. And, they're going back and forth right now with their two quarterbacks. And, Jackson Dart was the one that played for them this last game. And mm-hmm. I was really, really impressed with him. Just having glimpses of Dart playing in the other games with Keaton Slovis playing a little bit more. Jackson Dart played primarily. He really played this whole game.
Yeah.
And the longer the game went on, they blitzed him. I think UCLA came in thinking we're going to blitz this young quarterback, and I thought the more they blitzed and the longer the game went on, the better he got. And so we've got a big task ahead of us just with an offense like that, and And we've got to put a game plan together, and the boys will be excited to get down there.
Be a fun night at the Coliseum, late night game Saturday night. And certainly Southern California will bring out a number of BYU fans into the building, too.
That's right. That's right. We travel well no matter where we go.
So we talked a little bit about CFP rankings coming up tomorrow night. How much do you allow yourself to even involve, how much interest do you have in that conversation? CFP rankings, postseason speculation, New Year's Six talk, strength of schedule, all that stuff. Where are you on all this?
For me personally, almost zero. You know, it's just the control you can control and just make sure that you're ready to play. And we've got to make sure that we're you know, get the boys prepared and ready to go. And sometimes those conversations, I mean, as fun as they are for fans, and I'm talking my siblings, my relatives are always bugging me about it. I'm just like, I've got no interest in those kind of conversations. It's really just about getting the boys ready and having them prepped. And really the only thing that we can control is just if we keep winning, then, you know, obviously we've got a shot, and whatever happens with all the other stuff will happen. But we've got to make sure the boys are ready to play this weekend.
But it's satisfying and rewarding to be talked about, be a top 15 team, be in the CFP, and be on the verge of a double-digit win regular season. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's been huge. I was coming down from the box after the game, just, you know, A-Rod and I were talking, to say the words 9-2 just at this point in the season, I mean, it's been an amazing year, and we've got to keep it going.
Well, it's been a great year with you too, E. This is your final appearance on our season finale. So thank you for the weekly insight, the conversations. Always good to have you in here. We look forward to next year too.
Appreciate everything you do for us.
All right, thank you. That is Coach Elisa Tuiaki. As we head to a break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and now Harriman. This weekend, BYU plays at USC. Tune in to Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio, starting at 8:30 p.m., 6:30 Mountain. That's Saturday night. Eastern time, 8:30, 6:30 Mountain. You got it. All right, coming up next, the special teams coordinator, Ed Lamb, will join us in Studio C. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with Coach Lamb next. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU down to its final game of the regular season after improving to 9-2 with a 34-17 win at Georgia Southern on Saturday. Cougs now 13th in the AP poll, 15th in the coaches poll. BYU at USC to close out the regular season. Trojans 4-6, needing to win out to become bowl eligible. Let's welcome in now BYU Special Teams Coordinator Ed Lamb. Coach Lamb, good to see you once again.
Hi, Greg. Thanks.
It is our season finale, final show for all of us. To Georgia Southern, quickly, deja vu at all? Late season, Sun Belt, conference game, a similar maybe offensive style to what Coastal Carolina gave you. Not as good as Coastal, but the kind of team that wants to go late in clocks, limit possessions. There were some similarities, I felt.
A lot of similarities, yeah. A lot of similarities in our preparation and what we thought we would want to do defensively, especially with the similarity on offense. And a lot of the same logistical challenges traveling back to the East Coast and playing a team that is really excited to have, you know, a program caliber of BYU at their place. So I felt like we got their best effort.
We did see more fans in the stands at Georgia Southern than we did at Coastal, and a lot of BYU fans. And I don't know, regardless of your vantage point, Royal Blue was a prominent color on Saturday.
It was, yeah. We really were aware of the BYU fans and where they were, for the most part, congregated on the visitor side upper deck, so we could hear them and feel them and felt the support.
That never gets old, does it?
No, it really is. Even though I think we've grown to expect it, it still is a shock to see that number of fans that far away from home and to realize that that's, yeah, I don't know if we're the only program, but I've got to think there's not a handful of programs in America that can draw that far away from home that consistently.
Absolutely. I always anticipate that moment when the team runs onto the field for the roar you get and how it must take either the home players or the home crowds off guard a little bit to, like, the amount of noise that this team from Utah is generating on our field.
Yeah, the noise, and then typically you've got the in-game BYU chant that starts up, and then the just completely catches the home crowd off guard, and they try to come back, but BYU generally drowns them out.
That's pretty awesome. Well, to the game. The run-heavy, kind of slow play style of game really only works if you can either get a lead or stay in a close game. And in the first half, that was kind of what Georgia Southern did for the most part.
Oh, sure was. They found some excellent ways to move the ball. They moved the ball between the tackles. They moved the ball on the edge with a screen series that was a little bit of a new wrinkle for them. They found some ways to get stops and force field goals against our offense and got a fourth down stop. And you know, they really found some ways to hang in there in the game. And I really credit our guys because a panic can set in those moments. It's a long way from home. We're coming off a bye week. Getting back into the speed of the game is always hard. When it's the speed of a game, speed of the game against an option opponent, it's even harder. There were a lot of challenges there to overcome.
Yeah, we saw those first drive challenges in particular. It was Georgia Southern's longest drive of the game in terms of number of plays and duration. And a good thing is it ended with only a field goal, stiffened up. But how would you describe that feeling out process, particularly early in that game?
Well, there were two things that were really getting us. One of them was just the speed of the game. Their offensive line was firing off lower than our defensive line. We expected them to be a little bit more sideways in their run game, and they were more downhill. And so we made some adjustments that way with just the way we were displacing our front four, really the whole front seven. And then the other challenge that they had for us early was they threw a couple of swing passes that kept the drive going and got them 10 to 15 yard plays. And you know, those can really spark a drive, and they did for them.
BYU didn't get its first offensive touch until 7:14 was left in the first quarter. That's the latest opening drive for BYU this season. But two drives, two touchdowns for BYU on offense. 14-3 lead, you're kind of cruising. Then a turnover on downs. Georgia Southern gets a shot in the arm. You found yourselves actually trailing 17-14 here in the first half.
That's right. There were a lot of gut check moments in that first half, and the time you're describing is one of them. There were several. There were a half dozen times when I thought our team, or a team, could have folded, could have let the pressure get to them, turned on each other, felt like today's just not our day, and started making excuses. And they didn't. The boys didn't. They hung in there together. The energy kept growing on our sideline, kept growing from Kalani, and he's always the leader that way. And I felt like he stayed positive, the team stayed positive, and we were able to find our way back in.
Georgia Southern had another one of those teams that got BYU's offensive line off balance at times with shifts and calls. I think even actually calls. Calls are kind of illegal, right? I mean, when you're simulating snap counts and hikes and things like that.
It's a gray area of officiating, and the officials would like to see it change too. Obviously, the officials don't make the rules, and so there's some gray area there on what a defense would be allowed to call and how, I guess, violently or forcefully they could make that call. And you know, to stay out of a staccato rhythm, I think, would be in the spirit of the rules. But it's just an area of the game, much like a run-pass option with linemen downfield. Mm. The mechanics of the officials and who's supposed to make the call and whether or not the rule is black and white, it's just not there. And so sometimes we just have to be prepared for a little bit different interpretation by a different crew.
And as Kalani says as well, it's only a violation if the official hears what the guys at the line hear.
That's right. They've got to hear it, and then they've got to determine that it's deliberately mimicking the offensive snap count. And that's, again, there's some gray area there. Mm. It really should be, from my perspective, a rule that reads more like the defensive guys are not permitted to communicate.
To be verbal.
This group of words.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Something like that. Maybe colors. The defense owned the colors. And, you know, I'm not a rules expert, but that would just, to me, that to be a more black and white rule would take away a lot. Because defensively, we're almost forced to make decisions on, okay, what can we get away with? If other teams are going to do it, then we don't want to give away that advantage. We should do the same. And so right now, that's a discussion going on nationwide in college football.
We'll see where it goes. But it's being talked about, you think?
Most definitely, yeah. And officials are always upfront about rules that they would like to see clarified so that they can officiate the game more effectively. They want to do that.
Okay. You were leading 20-17 at halftime. You came back and went ahead on a couple field goals. Ryan Rico, no punts in the first half. Jake did make both of his field goal tries. In the kicking game, felt like it was a perfect day. Did you see kind of that way, or were there things you wanted to clean up?
I felt like the kicking specialist, Ryan Rico, had a great game. Jake Oldroyd had a really solid game. A couple of his kickoffs got hung up in the wind, and he's usually able to kick touchbacks when we call for that. And
so, we saw his first kickoff out of bounds of the season.
And then the kickoff went out of bounds, and that was just kind of overswinging into the wind, so it was still kind of a wind issue. The wind was swirling up high, a little stronger up high than it was on the field. So I thought there were areas where we could improve on that. where there wasn't much opportunity in the punt return game. We had a close call in the kickoff return game with their surprise onside kick. So there's always areas where we can execute better, for sure.
What was your comfort level with the 3-point lead at halftime on Saturday?
Zero comfort level. but I would say there's two different things. You know, as far as the motivation, the intensity at that time to get better, I was on high alert, and I think everyone on our coaching staff and our team was. But I do have great confidence in the character of this current team, the leadership of this current team, and I felt a calmness in the locker room at halftime, which was clear. It was clearly communicated amongst us all, like, okay, here's what's going on. Here are some adjustments that need to be made. Here's how we pull out the victory and come away with this thing in the fashion that we want to. And I thought, from that perspective, a job well done.
Yeah, second half shutout, testament to that. Get pregame coverage of BYU's this Saturday showdown at USC on BYU TV's Countdown to Kickoff, Saturday at 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain Time. Coming up next, we'll continue our conversation with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Safeties Coach, Assistant Head Coach, Ed Lamb. This is the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. More with the coach after this. Right hash kick, a 38-yard field goal try from Oldroyd, splits the uprights. It's through for three. BYU goes back in front by a score of 20-17. Those are the game-winning points on Saturday. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU 9-2 on the season, prepping to face 4-6 USC Saturday at the Coliseum in L.A. Visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Safeties Coach, Assistant Head Coach Ed Lamb. Coach Lamb, the fact that BYU's 9-2, considering the schedule, the sheer number of serious injuries and games lost by first stringers, I think it's a really impressive record.
It has been, yeah. I being in the locker room and working with the players, it's the final record, I wouldn't say is always as indicative of how satisfying things are. It's just seeing guys individually and collectively overcome the ups and downs of their college football career and the season, and I can point my finger to so many different guys on the team and so many different units on the team that have struggled, prepared, gotten better, improved, and the kind of success that they're having. I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Do any players or groups come to mind that really stick out to you right now?
Sure. I mean, Jacob Robinson had a tremendous game, but there's a guy who we recruited him out of high school. He chose to go to Utah State and put himself in a position where we were able to get him back here, and to see him go from somewhere on the depth chart, not starting early in the year, and now he's in a starting position and making plays. He's just brought so much to our team. Caleb Hayes is another similar, in the defensive backfield, a similar position. Jaron Hall coming in, fighting for the quarterback job, and now just really solidifying through his play, and everybody's still got a lot of confidence in Baylor. And just to see guys, the way that the program develops and then the way they support each other regardless of their role, I could go through each position group and find guys that have just been an inspiration to me.
Back to your Georgia Southern game for a moment. A lot of 4-2-5 defensively. How much of that formation is a function of opponent? How much is a function of, no Peyton Wilgar on the field, for example, an important linebacker that you didn't have?
Sure, yeah, that's a real challenge for us. And starting to mount, when it's first it's Keenan and we make some adjustments, and then Peyton goes out, we have to make new adjustments, and then in game
you lose a targeting
Max
call.
So quite a few challenges there for us defensively with personnel. But yeah, we actually started the game in an odd front, in a three-man front, and then we finished the game or played the middle part of the game in more of a four-man front, and then we're able to kind of bring home the win and keep the ball in front of us with an odd front again and playing more drop eight coverage. But a lot of challenges throughout the game, a lot to consider, a lot of punch, counterpunch with our defense and their offense.
Haven't had Chaz Ayu for a little bit. Does he get back this season, do we think?
Yeah, we sure hope. He was dressed for the game, ready to go prior to the game. And, just between he and the training staff, they made a decision there where it wasn't the right move to get reps in the game. But he's been getting reps in practice.
He's close.
In tune. He's mentally, and we don't bring anyone that we don't anticipate playing on defense, and we really wanted to play him.
Okay. It was a turnaround at halftime at Georgia Southern. BYU had the ball for 21 of 30 minutes in the second half. Lower possession game, lower number of possessions, but you scored two touchdowns and pitched a second half shutout. That's all you want to win the way you did.
Yeah, that's offense, defense working together. I thought our offense found its stride a little bit in possessing the ball better on in the second half, and our defense got off the field better, got the turnovers, of course, help in shortening drives and limited scoring. And you know, when the team's playing together like that, really we have the ability to pull away from anyone. I thought we got Georgia Southern's best effort of the year, and they're a team that's been getting better. You know, they've got Clay Helton, the new head coach there. He's watching practice. All the coaches are auditioning for jobs, and all the players are auditioning to stay on the team for next year. So they really do have a renewed energy with their program, and I thought it was a good quality win for us.
Special teams note, Ryan Rico wasn't called on to punt until the second half, and his first boot was a beauty. Great hang time and depth combined with excellent coverage. Sometimes on kicks that long, there's enough room to get a decent return, and it was almost no return.
It was really, really difficult at times to get coverage on kicks that long. There's opportunities there for the holdup team to continue to hold up, but Jacob Boren was the first one down. You can see, as you're watching this right here, Chris Jackson, even our snapper, Austin Riggs, is down there in the vicinity. So three guys on the scene, and we're able to keep that to a minimum return. What a great net punt.
Let's get to your by the way, BYU is one of the top 15 teams in the country right now in net punt, one of the metrics you look at. There are others, but net punt's a good one.
Yeah, net punt's the only one for me. I mean, there's a lot of punters that can go out there and kick low-line drives and have great punting, but Ryan really works hard at getting what we call commensurate hang time with distance. And so on a 63-yard punt, we want 6.3 hang time. That's hard to do. And we're not always there, but the important part is it's important to Ryan to make sure that our distance matches our hang time.
So a tenth of a second per yard?
Yes.
Okay. USC. Special teams players of the week, first of all. Let's get to those. Who'd you identify in your neck of the woods for honors this week?
Yeah, the top rock was Ryan Rico for just he rocked that punt, I guess would be a way to define it. Excellent job there. Earl Mariner actually blocked a punt. It ended up getting a rollout, the net result wasn't quite what you'd see on a normal block punt, but he got a good piece of it, went right through their shield, did a nice job there with his courage and execution. And then Jacob Boren, he racked up three different tackles on the night, and a tremendous game for him. And he does that every week. Tremendous, tremendous job and effort by Jacob.
And getting a number of snaps on the defensive side as well for you.
He does, yeah, every week. And he's a guy that we feel like generally coming out of most games, we feel like he could have or should have played more. Now he's playing the same position as Jacob Robinson. And so, you know, whether we needed to take out Jacob Robinson more to put out Jacob Boren, it's not that. I don't know that that's really the end result that we're looking for or the end criteria. We have a high level of confidence in Jacob Boren. That's the point I'm making.
Okay. You've been into USC for a little bit already. You do kind of the advanced scouting, maybe. Let's put it that way. Thoughts on the Trojans who come in 4-6. They got a COVID game rescheduled to after BYU. This was supposed to be their regular season finale. They'll now play Cal the week after you. So the way they look at it, they've got to win out to be eligible for the postseason. So there's something riding on it for them as well. A thumbnail on the Trojans, perhaps, from you.
Yeah, as you'd expect, they've got a lot of talent. They've got talent in their playing ability. They've got talent in their coaching roster. You know, we know these guys have been around the game a long time. They've got, I think this senior class for USC was the top ranked recruiting class nationally when they came in. A ton of ability. You know, there's a lot of reasons why a team is, you know, not necessarily firing on all cylinders in all games. You've seen it with us in games and throughout the season. The teams can play up and down a little bit. I think we have to play our best game. We have to be prepared to do that every week, and especially this week. We're playing them at home. They're playing with their backs to the wall as far as bowl game eligibility, and we feel like it's a worthy opponent of everything we've got.
To stay in New Year's Six eligibility, and yes, BYU's in the mix, every game is a must win, and you've been doing that. You've strung a number of wins together here at a really important time.
Yeah, and I think, the fact that I think there's a maturity level that teams, that programs can achieve when you're in that conversation year in and year out. And, I can remember last year it was much more in the forefront of a lot of player conversations. You walk through the locker room and hear things, the playoff committee is not ranking us as highly as they should be, et cetera. And now, I think that's our team is over that. It's a mature team. We're looking at, okay, who's the next opponent? That's what we can control. And I think there's advantages to, kind of winning year after year after year and being in that national discussion.
Well, Coach Lamb, this is our season finale. Thank you for another great year of insight and commentary and conversation. I look forward to it every Monday. I know our viewers do as well. And thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I look forward to it, too. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Ed. All right. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll bring in offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick for our final segments of this season as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. And we're back with more and Coach A-Rod after this.
They go for the end zone to Puka. Puka makes the catch, turns back to the ball. He's got a touchdown! Touchdown, Puka Nacua! Jaren Hall to Puka for the second time today.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner in our season finale, BYU wrapping up its 2021 regular season slate this Saturday in L.A. at USC. For our final two segments of this day and this season, we say hello to BYU Offensive Coordinator and QB Coach Aaron Roderick. Coach Roderick, good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
All right, let's get to the weekend we just had. And first up, hit the atmosphere in Statesboro, Georgia. How would you describe the vibe?
It was unique. Yeah, smaller stadium. Coaches, we had to walk up a grass hill and then through a bunch of fans in the concessions area and then up some stairs. And it was quite an adventure just getting to the booth. It was different, but every week is its own experience, and we've been talking about that all year. Just embrace whatever's in front of us and just enjoy it, and make the most of it.
I'm sure you enjoyed looking out from the coach's booth across the field to a sold-out upper deck of Royal Blue
BYU
fans.
That was really cool. I'm glad you mentioned that, yeah, because you and I had similar, you were right next to us, right?
Right.
The booth next door, yeah, it was pretty cool. Right, that whole area over there was just all blue.
The lower deck was kind of hit and miss, and then the upper deck is jam-packed, and that's all your people.
Very cool. And Kalani mentioned that to the team in the locker room when we very first got there. He just said, hey, most of these people traveled, good distance to be here, and these are the fans that don't get to see you every week like our fans at home. He said, let's make sure we embrace them and put on a show.
Yeah, I never get tired of that view or the sights or the sounds so far away from home. It's a really unique thing in college football.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you didn't see the ball on offense until more than half of the first quarter had been played.
Yeah.
It was the latest first drive you've had. You got a pretty good idea early that this was not going to be a high possession game if Georgia Southern had its way.
Yeah, yet another team who was using the entire play clock. They were signaling their plays in, and we were watching their offensive coordinator was signaling the plays in at about 20 seconds left on the play clock. And then, so they're just getting on the ball sometimes with 10 seconds left on the clock. It was interesting.
So it's imperative you do with the ball what you did when you got the ball. Back-to-back touchdowns on your first two possessions. First drive, a little more methodical, 12 plays. You threw on four of your first five snaps in the game. Was this something you had designed going in? We're going to hit them here?
Yeah, we wanted to come out throwing. Their safeties play really low, and we thought they were going to continue to do that to try and stop Tyler and basically dare us to throw the ball outside. So that's what we did.
Tyler did get you down there in position for your first score, and then Lopini gets you in the end zone.
Yeah. Good physical run by Peeney. Usually we're used to Tyler being the guy that breaks tackles, and Peeney, this was a physical touchdown run that Peeney had, and Tyler did what he always does. He punishes those guys, and we were running the ball a lot, though, into tough looks where there were just two safeties that we couldn't block. We were just outnumbered. And
see Peeney get spun around?
Yeah, and Peeney, that was a good physical run, and really proud of him.
Second drive, first play of the possession, Jaren Hall to Puka Nacua for 42 yards, and then three plays later, you're back to Puka for that little screen TD. He's clearly a feature receiver. He plays and looks and performs like a feature receiver.
Yeah, he's productive, and where he's, I think he's something like 12 yards a carry carrying the football as a runner, and he's making plays down the field, and we're just making sure we try to give him enough chances every game. And then it was awesome to have Gunnar Romney back. Gunnar made some really good plays. That post we just saw was a good catch, and he made good run on jet sweep and just played a really solid game, and it was so nice to have him back. And, and he made an awesome block on this touchdown, by the way. That play, he really effectively blocked two guys. And that's a play we've been practicing a while, and Gunnar executed it perfectly.
We're going to see that play once again, the screen, I think we're going to see DePuka for the touchdown
This is a play where Jaren can either hand the ball off, or if the matchup is right outside, the alignment is what we want, he can throw the screen to Puka. The key to the play, though, is the block. You need your outside receiver to attract the guy who's covering him and then crack block the guy on Puka.
And he got both.
Gunnar got both guys and did it perfectly. Yep.
So Gunnar had to miss, the Virginia game, Idaho State, then a bye week. So basically a month between when he got hurt, when he came. It was just enough time for him, right?
Yeah, it was enough time to get healthy, and he's played enough football here that he didn't look rusty at all to me. He looked like he never left.
You're up 14-10 after a Georgia Southern touchdown. You get a break when they have a guy out of bounds, touching out of bounds on an onside kick, which they had recovered. So you had a short field. Then you get to 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-2, and ended up giving it up on downs. What were you trying to do on those two plays?
We ran a quarterback run on 3rd down, and again, it was safety that made the tackle is a guy we can't block. We're just outnumbered. I mean, there's everybody up. And then this is a trick play we've been working for a while. Would have been a touchdown. There was nobody left if we get that ball to Isaac. Unfortunately, Peeney's made this throw perfectly to Jaron every time in practice and in the game. Just didn't make the throw that he's been making in practice. But yeah, no regrets at all. We're going to always...
The play was there.
Yeah, the play was there. We're always going to be aggressive. I have zero regrets about that. And I still trust. I'd trust Peeney again. I've seen him do that, make that throw 100 times in practice. We've been carrying that play all year. It's been in the game plan since the first game.
So when the first throw's off a little bit, the second throw's off a little bit, and that was that.
And we had a plan. We said, hey, the first, fourth, and short of this game, we're calling it.
And it was there.
We told the players, right. And it was there, and just didn't get it done. But no regrets at all. Our opponents know they got to be ready for anything on 4th down against us, and. You know, sometimes that'll help you get that 1 yard next time when you just hand it off and run it.
Jaron took a hit in that play as well, and I think it was when he came up a little slow, and I was worried. Were you worried at the same time?
No, I wasn't worried. I mean, he got a little hit, but it's football. You know,
clearly he stayed in, and
he's been playing a more physical style the last several games, and I have a lot of confidence in him.
Okay, did Puka give you a little bit of heartburn when he went down late in the first half?
A little bit, but, you know, Puka just practices so wild. I mean, that happens like 3 times a day in practice with him. We're always just like, hey, calm down a little. He plays so hard. We can be running routes versus air, and he's just going like crazy. And so... Yeah, with him, you just always wonder. Like, he looks like he's going to hurt himself in everything he does.
And he came off the field a little slow, went to the locker room early, I think, before halftime. And so I was like, okay, we're going to see him in the second half. We'll get to the point we actually did. But both those guys took hits and kept on grinding, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And like I said, Jaron's been playing a physical style lately. I mean, he's been running the ball for us and being aggressive. He hangs in there. He took a couple of hits where he held on to the ball to the last second and took the hit and made the throw. I was really proud of how he played. And then, Puka, he's a wild man. He plays like a savage all the time.
Tyler Allgeier, 7 carries in the first half at almost 7 yards a pop, got more than twice that number of carries in the second half. Was that a conscious decision or more related to score and situation that you could ride him a little more? And the fact you knew you could throw early on these guys.
We wanted to run him more in the first half. We just didn't have that many possessions. And the way they were playing us, the safeties were so low, they were just daring us to throw. So we were just throwing, and I just told him, like, your runs are coming, just wait. And, you know, and then second half, we got it going. We loosened up their secondary a little bit by throwing the ball down the field in the first half. And then, of course, also having the 2-score lead lends itself to handing the ball to Tyler. But the biggest thing in the first half was just, you know, not that many possessions.
And then the other element of it is that late in games is when Tyler's done some of his best running.
Absolutely.
Guys have taken a few hits, and he keeps on pounding. He gets stronger as the game gets longer as well.
Yep. And I'm sure maybe you were going to get to this, but another game where we end the game seven-minute drive at the end of the game, you know, mostly featuring him.
We will hit that. Time for a break. As we step away, we remind you that for your daily Cougar Sports play-by-play, tune in weekdays to BYU Sports Nation at noon Eastern Time. Coming up in our final segment of this show and this season, how BYU finished off Georgia Southern and a look ahead to USC. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more Coach Roderick after this.
Coordinator's Corner is brought to you in part by JCW's, The Burger Boys, BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event, and by Siegfried & Jensen, serving Utah families for over 30 years.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We are with BYU Offensive Coordinator and QB Coach Aaron Roderick. BYU beats Georgia Southern 34-17 on the weekend, and the Cougs will be at USC this Saturday. A second-half shutout for BYU, 14-0 in the second half. First TD of the second half was a Tyler Allgeier rushing score. I mention that because he extends his own BYU record. He's now had a rush touchdown in 9 consecutive games.
Yeah, he's doing a great job for us, and that first drive, I was pleased that we scored on the first drive of each half, and also that first drive in the third quarter, we established the run again. They loosened up a little bit, and we wanted to get Tyler going.
We're going to throw up some numbers that show just how consistent Tyler has been, and 2 games left. Luke Staley's single-season rushing record may be in play here over these next 2 games, and that stood for a while.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing because Luke Staley's probably the best football player I've ever seen play. I mean, he was a phenomenal player and somebody I know really well. And to think that Tyler's in that category is pretty awesome.
And he helped you do at the end of the game what you alluded to before the break, and that is your final possession of the Georgia Southern game was 7:45 of possession to end the game. No additional score needed at that point. You had the ball. You were going to end it by kneeling down, and the work was done.
Yeah, and I love how our players have embraced we call it 4-minute offense, but in this case it was almost 8-minute offense. But they've really embraced it. It's really fun. It's almost as fun as ending the game with a touchdown. Just ending the game on the field in victory formation and knowing that we just crushed the clock. I mean, we love it. And right after the game, that's what a lot of the players are talking about. You know, not the score or whatever. It's that, hey, we did it again. We ended the game in victory. And 7:45 off the clock was really cool.
Began the game with a 12-play drive. Ended the game with a 12-play drive.
I think it's the 7th time this year that we've finished the game in 4-minute offense. Yeah.
Working out really well. Let's get to your offensive players of the game before we wrap things up here today. Who'd you like?
Thought Mason Wake played the best game he's played in his career here. He was very physical and just awesome all day long. And then Joe Tukuafu and Blake Freeland both also played their best games of their career. Both of them graded out very high in the 90%, somewhere in the 90s. And just thought Joe was super physical in the game and Blake was just sound in every area, pass protection and running the ball. And again, I want to mention Mason Wake, how physical he was. You know, the game has it's not quite the same physicality that it used to be, but Mason Wake is like pushing it to the limits every single snap with just how tough he is. And thought he played a great game.
We have 60 seconds left in the show, time enough for you to give us a couple thoughts about heading to the Coliseum to take on USC this Saturday.
Well, just what you know. I mean, they have really good football players on their roster. They're a deep, talented team. And all we're going to do is just prepare like we're going to get their best shot. And it's great football environment to play in the Coliseum, and I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of our fans in the stands.
And it would be great to have a double-digit win season before the postseason. That'd be something with the schedule.
That would be, and that's getting the 10th win is, you know, regardless, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, getting a 10th win is a special accomplishment, and I really hope that our players, I hope they get it. They deserve it.
Well, good luck to you and the boys, and thanks to you for a season on the Coordinator's Corner. Appreciate the insight as you bring it to us every week. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
All right, thank you, Aaron. That's Aaron Roderick, and that'll do it for this season of the Coordinator's Corner. For coaches Tuiaki, Lamb, and Roderick, I am Greg Grubel. Thanking you for joining us in 2021. We will see you next season. Go Cougs!